Begin the current daven, Sechtes Chulin Daf Lamed Tes. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues in the discussion that will relate back to the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was talking about if a Jew slaughters an animal for a non-Jewish owner of the animal, will that invalidate the animal or not? And also will relate back to the discussion of our previous daf regarding a halacha of learning out Chutz Mipnim, regarding things that are done out of the Azara, regarding things that are done in the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, Itmar, we learned as follows. Hashechet es abehema. If someone slaughters an animal, lizreg dam alavodes kachavim, to then, because he wants the blood to be thrown for idolatry. Now, the reason for this case is because if he would actually, during the slaughter, slaughter it for the utility of, that it should be for the purposes of avodes zara, which his intention is to serve the idol with the slaughtering, so then everyone would agree that the animal would be forbidden, because that's what's known as zivchei mesim, things which were slaughtered for the dead, which doesn't mean literally for the dead, it means to say that avodah zarah is compared in the pasuk to the dead. In the case that we're discussing over here, however, is his intention was not during the slaughtering to slaughter for the avodah zarah. Rather, when he was slaughtering just for itself, he had in mind that then the blood that's going to be derived from this animal will then be worshipping the avodah zarah by spraying its blood. Or the fats that they'll get from this animal, they'll then go ahead and subsequently burn those fats for idolatry. So what's the halacha? So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yechonah Amar Pesula. He said it's invalid, meaning that this animal is prohibited to have any benefit from it, like an animal that avodah zarah was done with it. But Rabbi Shimon Malakash Amar Mutaris, he says, no, this animal is permitted. As the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechonah Amar Pesula, he says it's invalid. We consider it like avodah zarah, because mechashvin me'avoida la'avoida. You could have a thought from one service to another act. Meaning, when you're having in mind, during this act of slaughtering, not for this act itself, for idolatry, but for a different act. So for example, like we're saying, if he's during slaughtering having in mind regarding the throwing of the blood, he's having in mind that he wants the throwing of the blood to be avodah zarah, that's effective in a negative way to make it aser, because we learn out v'alfinan chutz. We learn that something that's done out of the azara, out of the courtyard, meaning the prohibition, the violation of avodah zarah, idolatry, mipnim, from that which is done inside the avodah zarah, inside the azara, which is the machshava of pigul that's done in the azara. Where when someone slaughters an animal with the intention that he wants to throw the blood tomorrow, which is beyond the time that you allow to, or to burn the sacrificial parts tomorrow, that's actually the primary halacha of pigul. That is really the essence of what pigul is. When you're doing one avodah, you're having in mind that one of the consumptions are being done beyond its time, or the Zrikas Adam, which that's the primary part of the carbon. But in its essence, it's a machashav lavayda lavayda. So we learn that the same thing applies to something that's done out of the Azara for, let's say, regarding avayda Azara. But Rish Lakish Amar Mutaris, it says, no, the case that we described that we're talking about is permitted, because ein machashav lavayda lavayda. You can't have a mind from one act to another act. If you're doing the shechita, you're not doing it for the zara, even though you're having in mind that you want to do the throwing of the blood for avodah zarah, that's not going to invalidate it, because we don't learn that something out of the courtyard from something that's in the courtyard from the halacha of pigul. Says the Gemara of Azul Latamai, and this machlekes of Yechon Shlokesh, they go according to their opinion as is mentioned elsewhere. Ditma, because we learned another machlekes of theirs. Shechata lishma, and we're talking about a karma chatas, which if it was slaughtered for its namesake to be a karma chatas, because regarding all other karbanas, actually, even if it's done shaloi lishma, it's actually kasher, as the opening Mishnah Masechet Zevachim says. But regarding chatas, it was slaughtered shaloi lishma, it's invalid. So through karma chatas, it's slaughtered shaloi lishma. So we're talking about, if let's say the actual slaughtering itself was done for the sake of a karma chatas, but the person is having in mind lizrik dama shaloi lishma, but that he wants that the blood should be thrown not for a namesake of a karma chatas. So here too we have machlekes Rabbi Yochanan ben Pesula, he says that invalidates the karma chatas. Says, no, it's valid. As the Gemara explains. B'yechadam Absuli says that invalidates it because mechashvim ma'avoid la'avoida. You could have in mind an effective invalidating thought from one act to another act, because of a gemrina we learn out a machshava of psul of shaloi lishma mi machshava is pigul. From the machshava of pigul, which its primacy is actually from one act to another act, which is if you have a mind in the shechita to go ahead and throw the blood tomorrow, that is the essence of what pigul is. And that we see works from avodah l'avodah. So same thing applies to machshav av shaloi lishma. Rabbi Shimon Malakash Amar Ksheri says, no, it is valid, because ein machashav avodah l'avodah. You cannot have in mind shaloi lishma from one act to another act, because of a legerina, machshav av pigul, we don't learn that shaloi lishma from machshav av pigul. And says the Gemara, Tzricha, we needed to tell you by both these cases, the Machlikas, Rabbi Yechon, and Rishim Melakish. Why? The Itmar Baha, had we only said in the first case that we brought regarding when someone slaughters an animal to throw the blood for Avodah Zarah, I would tell you, Baha Kamer Rishim Melakish. It's only over here, Rishim Melakish says that you can't have a mind from one Avodah to another one to invalidate it. Why? Mishum dechutz mipnei lo yafinan. Because the source of this halacha, the machashav avayda l'avayda, is by the machshav of pigul in the azar. You can't learn that something that's out of the azar from something that's in the azar. Avapnim mipnim, but from something that's inside to something else that's inside, meaning an validation of a karmachata shalei lishma, to learn that out from pigul, eim emayda l'Rabbi Yechon, I would say that he would agree to Rabbi Yechon, and that you could be machashav avayda l'avayda to invalidate. Therefore, we have to say that case too. And v'yitma b'hached, we only said the second case of shalei lishma, I would say behikam Rabbi Yechon, and maybe only in that case Rabbi Yechon would say that you mechashem avayda l'avayda, because it's also a case of pnim, that's done in the azar. It's also relating to kachim. Abaha, but in the case of avayda zara, imam oydler b'shem lakish, I would say he agrees to Rish Lakish that it would not be effective me'avayda l'avayda, because chutz b'nim le'yofinan. Tzricha, that's where we have to say both cases, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish hold their opinions regarding if you mechashem me'avayda l'avayda or not. Now, Masr Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, however, asks on both their opinions from the halacha of our Mishnah. This is where it relates back to our previous Mishnah. Amar Biesi, he disagreed with the first two opinions in the Mishnah that the non-Jews' thought process as the owner could invalidate the slaughtering that the Jew is doing. He said, no, kavachem advar. It's a kavachem that it cannot be effective to invalidate the animal. Because if in a situation where a thought can invalidate a slaughtering, where do we find it? B'mukdashin. That's by Hektish. Where that's what the whole halach of pigul is. It's just a thought that invalidates it. And in hakol hoylech ela acha ha'ovid. And whose thought it makes it effective to invalidate? It's only the one who's doing the actual avodah of the kayin. So makom she'im achshava pesela. So in the place where thought itself does not invalidate, where do we find that? By chulin, by unconsecrated animals, meaning non-karbanas out of the azara. Isn't a kavachem for sure that we're only going to be basing on who's actually doing the actual slaughtering itself and not the non-Jewish owner? And therefore, he says the non-Jewish owner is not going to validate the slaughtering of the Jew. And that says the Gemara, says Rav Sheshes, my emach shava pesel spachulin. As we already alluded to this in the Mishnah, what does Rav Yisi mean when he says that, oh, chulin, there you don't even have a thought process of validating? And that says Rav Sheshes, if you think he really means to say that by chulin things, a thought cannot invalidate an act, but then this that we know, that slaughtering an animal for the purposes of idolatry, that it makes that animal forbidden to even have benefit from it, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the Choftes Mabez, it says that Tekrevis Avodah Zkechavim, an animal that was worshipped in its service of Avodah Zarah, is called Zivchei Mesim. Like the Pasuk says, regarding idolatry, it says, Vayechlu Zivchei Mesim, they eat from the slaughterings of the dead. Why are they calling from the dead? Just like a dead person is forbidden to have benefit, so too, servicing an animal for idolatry makes it forbidden to have benefit. Now, where do we know that a dead person himself is forbidden to have benefit? Because we learn that Gzir Shav Sham Sham. There's a pasuk says, "Vatamash Sham Mirim died over there," and it says, "By Egla Rufa V'Orfu Sham Es Egla." Just like the decapitated calf, when they find a dead person and they don't know who killed them, they do the Egla Rufa. That the Egla Rufa is forbidden to have benefit, and the way we know Egla Rufa is forbidden for benefit because it says that's where you have to bury it; no one can use it. So, to a dead person, forbidden to have benefit, and just like a dead person, forbidden to have benefit, and contaminates in the same oil, so too something that's worshipped, that's serviced as Avodah Zarah, is also asabana and contaminates in the oil. So we know there's such a halacha. So that is the Gemara. Well, hecha meshkachasla. Then how do you have the case? You tell me bechulin, which includes avodah zarah, anything is not a non-kodshim, that a machshava does not invalidate. Yet we see clearly that the machshava of avodah zarah does invalidate. So what is Rabbi Yisi saying? Elab Shida rather says Rav Sheshes is obvious that this that Rabbi Yisi said that bechulin a machshava does not invalidate. What he meant to say was me'avodah l'avodah. It does not invalidate from one act to have a mind for a different act. V'hachakam, and this is what he was saying. Ubma b'makam shemachshava pesel is b'mukdashin. If we find that a thought could invalidate by karbanas, me'avayda la'avayda, from one service to another, as we explained, because the primary of pigul is from one act to another one. Slaughtering with the intention of throwing the blood beyond its time. Ein ha'koil hoylech elach ha'ovid, and even there where it's pretty severe, you could do from one avayda to another one. But still, it's only based on the one that's doing the actual act of the avayda, like in the case we're describing of the slaughtering. So that said, Rabbi Yisi, makom she'imach shava peisel es b'chun, me'avayda la'avayda. So in a place where you don't invalidate from one act to another act, where is that? By chulim, by avayda zara. So there, Ela Beis Avoida, only in that Avoida itself, which, as we're saying, that we know from comparison of Zivcha Mason, where if you're slaughtering that during the slaughtering itself, you're doing the slaughtering for Avoida Zara, that we agree that that's going to be Aser. So in the din shlo yehi hakol hoylech elach hashayichet. So there we are limited to the act itself. You can't do it from avoid lavoida. That's what Rabbi Yisus was saying, that obviously that you're going to only base on the ones doing the actual service itself and not the owner of the thing. So therefore says the Gemara panim kasha l'ribshim melakish. So the halacha that he's saying that a machshava invalidates by mukdashin, it says the halacha machshava peiseles b'mukdashin is the words of Rabbi Yisus. Doesn't say mifageles. Obviously, that it's all invalidations that are in the Azara. For example, if someone's throwing the blood of a Karma Chata, Shloi Lishma, that is considering that you could have such a Makshava from one act to another act. That's difficult. Rishon Mishlakish, he says that no, only Pigel, not Shloi Lishma, even though it's done Bifnim, says you cannot be Machashav Avod Levaida. Here you see from Rabbi Yisi that Rav Sheshet said you have to qualify, that's what he means to say, that it's Me'avod Levaida, because Chulun also has Makshavas of Psul. It just means from one act to another one. You see, A, not like Rish Lakish, from the fact that Shalei Lishma, which is Pnim, you are Machashav Avod Levaida. And Chutz, Kashal Rabbi Yechanan. And the other half of the statement of what's done out of the Azar is difficult like Rabbi Yechanan, because here the Mishnah is telling us that by Chulun, a Machshava does not invalidate Avod Levaida. And Rabbi Yechanan says that even by Chutz, even by Avod Azar, by a Chulun animal, you are Machashav Avod Levaida. So says the Gemara, Bishlem Pinim L'Rabshim Ben Lakish L'Kasher. So we can understand and explain why the halacha of Shalei Lishma, that you could be Mechashem Avoy Lavoyde, is not difficult according to Rish Lakish, because you could say that Hamik made the Shame, that his opinion that we mentioned before in his disagreement with Rabbi Yechanan was before he heard the halacha of Mishnah, Mirab Yechanan, from his teacher Rabbi Yechanan. So when he first heard his teacher saying, he thought it was his teacher's logic, and he was saying, based on logic, I would say that, no, you're not necessarily going to say Mechash Mavoy Lavoyda even by Shalei Lishma, because that's Pigel and this is Shalei Lishma. But Hol, Abasa Deshame. But this point that we're bringing from the Mishnah, he would agree to, after he heard the Mishnah, Mir B'Yechanan from his teacher B'Yechanan, and he understood, oh, it's not just a logic of his teacher B'Yechanan, rather it's a Mishnah that teaches that you learn out, even Psul, an invalidation of Shalei Lishma, as long as then Bifnim, you learn that out from Pigel. So then you could say that, yeah, Rish Lakish ultimately retracted. Now, the reason why we picked that he heard from Rabbi Yechanan is because Rabbi Yechanan was his teacher, and he taught him all the Mishnayos and Braises, so you could say, it's not difficult in Rish Lakish. This that he disputed Rabbi Yechanan was before he knew it was a Mishnah, but when he heard it was a Mishnah, of course he agreed to. Or another interpretation is that after he heard that from his teacher Rabbi Yechanan that he disagrees with him, and he says that you are Mechashev, oh, then he says, okay, then you could say that's when he retracted. So that's Labasa Deshame doesn't mean after that he heard the Mishnah Rabbi Yechanan. After that he heard that his teacher Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. He says, oh, you disagreed. So then he conceded to him. So you could say it's not difficult on Rish Lakish. Elachutz Kashal Rabbi Yechanan. But Rabbi Yechanan, who knew the Mishnah is, and he's not going to concede to Rish Lakish necessarily. Him, it's difficult, the halacha of Bachutz. Because he said, you could be Mechashem Avod Levaida, even by Avod Zara, even by Chutz Da Zara, even by Chulin. And yet you see clearly the way Rav Sheshet is saying you have to qualify the halacha of the Mishnah, that by Chulin, you're not Mechashem Avod Levaida. And that's what Rabbi Yisi said, that you're not Mechashem Avod Levaida, therefore obviously you're going to go only after the Sheikhid and not after the Baal. So that says the Gemara, who Meisav Lov, who Mefarakla? Rav Sheshet was the one who asked the question, and he's the one that gave the answer. And he says, no. This that the Mishnah said, that Machshavah is not invalidated by Chulin. It doesn't mean, like he was saying in the question, that it means me'avoid la'avoida. Rather, it means ba'arba avoidas. It was talking about regarding the fact that it could invalidate by all four acts of service. V'achikam, this is what Rabbi Yisrael was saying in the Mishnah. U'ma'ba makam shemachshava peisales b'mukdashin, if in a situation where a thought process could invalidate by karbanas, ba'arba avoidas, by all four acts of service of a karban, which is slaughtering, receiving the blood, transporting the blood, and throwing the blood. By any one of these avodas, if he has a machshava with the intention of eating the carbon beyond his time, that makes it into pigel. And still, in hakol hoylech ela achar ayver, it's still the invalidating thought is only goes based on the one who's doing the actual avoda and not the owner. So that's what he says. We continue to mitbeis. So makom she'im machshava peiseles b'chulin. So in the situation where machshava will not invalidate by chulin, by unconsecrated animals, regarding idolatry, that their machshava does not invalidate by all four acts of service. is only by two acts, that of slaughtering and throwing the blood, because it's only by those two contexts that the Pasuk tells us regarding idolatry. In Shmoyis Chav Beis it says, Zevech lo lehim yachram, which talks about slaughtering for idolatry. And the Pasuk in Tehillim Tazayin that says, Bal asach niskeim adam, which talks about pouring and throwing the blood for the idol, which is Shechita and Zrika. But receiving the blood and transporting the blood, that it doesn't say. Now, although there's another context that it does talk about idolatry regarding burning incense, burning the animal for the pleasant aroma for the idol, however, that also wouldn't be included to be a third one, because that's not an avodah to make a loss of the animal because of sacrificing its fats for idolatry when you didn't slaughter or throw its blood for idolatry, because even in the Azara itself, a carbon does not become invalidated if you had in mind regarding the thinking that you want to eat the meat beyond this time, at the time of when you're burning the hektar chalav and burning the fats. So that's not something that we would consider invalidating the whole animal because of idolatry. So, but one thing is that you're right. The premise of Shesha's question is correct. Can't say that there's no machshava of psul by chulin, because that we know that by avodah zarah does apply. So he thought the only other option was mavod lavodah, which that was difficult on Rabbi Yechonon. And then I say, no, the comparison of what he's making, the kavachema from kachim to chulin, is in regards to a different element, regarding the four avodahs. That only applies by kachim, and still you're limited to the avod. So by chulin, by avodah zarah, where it only validates by two avodahs, in adin shalai hei hakoil hoilach ila achar shechet. That's why he disagreed with the first two opinions in the Mishnah, that he says that therefore for sure that you'd be limited to only one that's doing the actual slaughtering, and therefore again it doesn't refute Rabbi Yechonon. Now actually the Gemara says, Tani Kavu said, Rabbi Yechonon, we have a braisa that supports the opinion of Rabbi Yechonon. Because the braisa says clearly, HaShechet HaSabayim, if someone slaughters an animal, Lizrik Dama Labetz Kechavim, with the intention of throwing the blood for idolatry, or Lahakta Chelbo Labetz Kechavim, or to sacrifice its fats for idolatry, Harei Elu Zef Chemesim, that makes it into the sacrifices of the dead, meaning it gives it to Halacha, being Asabana, clearly like Rabbi Yechonon, that even by Chut, even by Chulin, by Avodah Zarah, you can be Mechasha, Me'avodah La'avodah. Now the braisa continues, and says, Shechata V'achkach Kishbalah. Let's say, he first did the slaughtering, didn't say anything. After he slaughtered, he thought out loud, he's thinking to himself, I want to throw the blood or to sacrifice its fats for idolatry. So says the Braisa, Zeha Yemaisa B'Kisari, this is such an incident in Kisari. And they didn't say that it should be forbidden, but they didn't say that it should be permitted. So on that, Rav Chizki explains why. They didn't say it should be forbidden Mishum Kavod and Rabbanan, to give respect to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they said in the Halacha of our Mishnah, as we had explained in the Gemara, we don't say that generally we assume that the thought process of a non-Jew for idolatry is for idolatry. And therefore here also, even though at the end of the story, after he finished slaughtering, we obviously realize that this Jew is not all that he's cut out to be. He's a mummer, he's a renegade Jew, because he's saying, hey, I want to throw this blood for idolatry. We don't say that we're going to assume that when he had initially slaughtered, that it was for slaughtering for idolatry, because we don't say, stam machshava is havadis kechavim, even though we know someone intends and is an idol worshiper. So because of the respect for their opinion, who they say we don't assume it, they don't want to say it's forbidden. But Lehet didn't say it's permitted, Mishum Kavayda Jabaliyaza, because of the honor to Rabbiyaza's opinion, who he said that we do assume, if someone that we know that is an idolater, we do assume that's for idolatry, and therefore here we should assume that this mummer, this Yisrael mummer, did it for idolatry, so we couldn't say it's permitted, but we couldn't say it's forbidden. However, in this interpretation of Chizdi Gemara as Mimai, where do you see to say that that's why they didn't want to say Asar or Mutter? Dilma Adkan Likam Rabban Hasa, maybe where do we have in our Mishnah that Rabban say? That we don't say we're going to assume that the idolatrous intent was for idolatry. That's Ela Delay Shemana de Chashim, which this was discussed regarding exactly what's the opinion of Rabbanan, but we could say maybe they only said it when we didn't hear that he had in mind, neither in the beginning nor at the end, that he had in mind for idolatry. So we don't assume. Aval Hacha de Shemana de Chashim, but here where we heard after he slaughtered that he's having in mind for idolatry, maybe the Yil say, that the end proves the beginning, that if he's thinking now, he obviously thought then, maybe they would agree that it's Asr. So how could you say it's because of their opinion that they didn't want to say Heter? Maybe even they would agree that it's Asr. And Inami, and also regarding your interpretation on the other end, Adkan lekamer Rebbe Elazar Hasa, maybe where do we say in the mission that Rebbe Elazar says that we do say that we assume that stam machshav is labayit kechavim, that's elegabe ayvet kechavim. That's only by an idol worshipper, where we assume, since he's an Ovid Kechavim, that when he slaughtered for Ovid Kechavim, for idolatry. Because the Stam Machshav is Ovid Kechavim, Labid Kechavim. Generally, the thought process of an idol worshiper is for his idol. Aval Yisrael, but by a Jew, since his, at the time of the slaughtering, we had a presumption as a regular Jew, maybe we would not say that the end will prove the beginning. Maybe it's only when he finished slaughtering, then the evil inclination entered into him, and then he rebelled against Judaism. But who said that even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it should be Aser? Why are you saying they didn't say Aser, because they didn't say Mutter because Rabbi Eliezer? Maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's Mutter, because why should we assume that he had in mind a non-Jew? We assume here at the time of slaughtering, we could very likely say that he was a full-fledged Jew, and only afterwards it happened. So on both points, it's difficult your interpretation. So El Amar of Shizri, rather, he says a different interpretation. It says Lo Amar Beheter. The reason why they didn't say that it's permitted is Mishum Kfeidid Reb Shimon Gamliel. Not because of the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it's going to be permitted, but it's because of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who he says is we're going to prove that no, we do say the end proves the beginning, and if it's just at the end we see that he's a mummer, he's a renegade Jew, we'll assume that the beginning was also, and therefore we couldn't say it's permitted because of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that his opinion would hold that it should be us. Says the Gemara, hey Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are you referring to? Elam Reb Shimon Gamliel deGittin. If you think it's Reb Shimon Gamliel that applies to the halachas of the divorce document, it's not. Like we learn the Mishnah Masechet deGittin. The Mishnah tells us Habari Sha'amar. If a healthy person says Kisvu Gedel Ishti, he tells people write a divorce document for my wife, but he doesn't say write it and give it. He just says write it and he leaves. So the halacha is Rotzel Asachipa. If he wants, he can laugh all the way to the bank that she can't press him to give her a get to say, hey, we have no children. If you die, I'm gonna have to do Yibum. He just was playing with her, with words, and he didn't make those people agents to divorce her because he never said give it. He just said write it. You can write it, but he never said to give it. Now, the reason why the Mishnah picks specifically the words bari, a healthy person, because actually if he was what's called a masukin, if he was in danger of his life, the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri, who the Mishnah tells us in Gittin Daf Samachim Beis, that actually even though he says only write, you would write and give it. Because the Mishnah there says that initially they used to say that if someone's going out in chains to be killed, and he says, write a get for my wife, even though he didn't say give it, you write it and you give it. Because he's tumultuous, his head is definitely not clear because he knows he's going to die. So he didn't get a chance to finish what he really wanted to say, but he really intended to say to give it to. Then they added on to the list, also someone that leaves on a journey, and he goes on a caravan, he goes overseas, that they're also, even though he just said write, he meant write and give it. Reb Shimon Shazuri said, even the Mesukin, even someone that's just at the end of his life, he's at the end of life, that there when he says right, he means right and give. And Reb Chananel says, halacha is like Reb Shimon Shazuri. So that's what we're picking specifically a healthy person. Now, says the Mishnah, Umaisa Babari, there was such an incident with a healthy person. So Amma Kiswa Gelish, he says, right a get for my wife. Now, the other Legag, he went up then on the roof, the Nafal Umes, and he fell to his death, and he died. Now, the story is talking about where before he jumped to his death, they had already, those people had already written, and those witnesses had given the get to his wife. On that, Amr Shimon Gamliel, he says, look, in the Atzmei Nafal, if he fell himself to his death, meaning he pushed himself off, so obviously, initially, his intention was, before he went up and jumped, that he was obviously in a tumultuous frame of mind if he was committing suicide. So he has the same frame of mind like a Mesukin, so says Reb Shimon Gamliel, how is a get? So then, it's going to be a valid get. But if let's say he's just doing work on the roof and the wind blew him off, ain't a get, even though it was right after, it's not going to be a get. Now, Vavinba, we had asked on this Mishnah, Maisa Lister? Would you bring a story to contradict what you just said? You open up the halacha by saying that if a healthy person says write it and he didn't say give it, he can laugh at her, it has no validity whatsoever, and you didn't differentiate. And now you say, oh, it depends. If he jumped, then it is a get. If he didn't, then it's not. So on that we said, Chasuri Mechs Rabbi Hachikitani. No, you're right, there are words of Mishnah in the Mishnah, and this is what it's supposed to say. Generally, it's not a get, because a healthy person is not a Masukin, he just says right, has no validity. But on that it says, Im Hoichiach Sefer Al Tchilasa, but even if it's a healthy person, but the end proves what his intention initially was, then Hari is a get, then even though he's a healthy person, it will be a get, even though he just said right. And that's what the story was coming to tell. So, Maisa Namin, there was such a story. The Bari Shama Kisv Gedlish, the healthy person that said, write a gift for my wife. Va'al Lagag, V'nafal Lamesi, went up on the roof and he fell and he died. And that, Amrim Shem Gamliel, Imei Atzmei Nafal, if he fell by himself, Harei Zeget, it is a get. And again, but if the wind pushed him, then it's not going to be a get. But one thing you see Reb Shimon Gamliel talking about a case of Hoychich Sefer Tchilasai, and that he says it's going to be a get. So it's that Reb Shimon Gamliel that says that the end proves the beginning. We could see really what his intention was in the beginning, where therefore it's going to be a get, that he meant to say Tanui, just he wasn't clear, although he looked healthy, but his mental state obviously was not. And here too, therefore in the context of what we're talking about here, regarding this Yisrael Muma, this renegade Jew, who, although when he was slaughtering, he looked regular, but right after he's like, I want to do this for the Avodah Zarah, obviously his intention was, in the beginning also, we just didn't see it, and therefore they couldn't say it's mutter due to the respect of Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion. However, in that the Gemara asks, what's the proof? The Yimashani Hasan, maybe there in the case of Gittin is different, because the Kamar, in the beginning he said already, Kisvu. There are some telltale signs, we didn't know, because we had no lead, but he already said, write a get for my wife. So there's a little bit of proof. Now, when he ultimately, a few hours later, fell to his death, obviously that's just revealing the fact that what he said in the beginning, Kisvu, he meant to give it. That's why it's going to work over there. But in the case over here, where at the time of the slaughtering, we had no hints, and even if we look back at the fingerprints, we don't see anything. So therefore, maybe over there, Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree that it's going to be mutter. So again, why are you saying that they couldn't say mutter because of Reb Shimon Gamliel? So Elam Ravina, rather, he gives a different interpretation. It says, it's because of respect of a different source of Reb Shimon Gamliel. The time that we learned in the Braisa. It says, HaKesev Nechasev Lachem, someone writes away his estate, his properties to other people. V'hoi ben avadim, and in his estate, there were slaves. But V'am Halah, but that other person, the one that was being gifted to, he said, E.F. Shemen, I don't want these slaves. I don't want that gift. So on that says the Tanakama, Im Hoya Rabbi Sheini Kayin, if the second master, meaning the guy who's saying, I don't want them, if he was a Kayin, it is by force his slaves, and Hare Elo Eichlim B'Truma, and therefore the slaves are considered his slaves, and since he's a Kayin, they can eat Truma, like the slaves of a Kayin are allowed to, which Gemara shortly is going to ask, what do you mean? The guy's protesting saying he doesn't want it, and we forcefully say it's his, and therefore it's like his slaves, and they can eat Truma? But that's what the Tanakama says. Pshim Gamliel, I mean, he says, no. Since that guy says, I don't want him. So Kfar Zacha ben Yershin, so already the inheritors of the first person, of the original owner, who's Yisrael, owns them, and therefore they're not the Avadim of a Kain, and therefore they cannot eat Truma. Now, regarding that Brice of Avinba, we had asked, as we just alluded to, Latanakama, according to Tanakama, Afilo Emid Vitzevach, even if that guy is standing and he's screaming and he's saying, I don't want them, where do we ever find that someone has to receive a gift against his will? On that, I'm a rabbi, he had qualified, Vitim, and some say it was Rabbi Yechanan, did you right? Bitzavech meikara, if from the get-go he was screaming, saying, I don't want them. So of course, the kul emolei pligi de lakan, no one's going to disagree that he has not acquired them, and they're not considered the avadim of a kain to eat truma. So to the opposite extreme. Bishaisik, if initially he was quiet, he took the document, which included all that guy's estate, including the slaves. Ubisayv tzavech, and then later on, a few hours later, he starts screaming, saying, nah, I don't want these slaves. The kul emolei pligi de lakan, no one's going to disagree that he has already acquired it. You could try to sell them, but you can't just say you don't want them. It's already yours, and they're already going to be eating truma. Ki pligi, said Rabba or B'yichanan, when do they disagree? Is shezikaloi al de acher. Is when it was merited to that recipient through another person, meaning the gifter gave the document of the gift to someone else in front of the one who's being gifted to, and he said to that other person, that third party, here, merit for this document for that person. And additionally, b'shtasik l'b'sayv tzavach. So that one who's getting the gift was quiet while that other guy got the document. And later on, when he got the document, that's when they started screaming. Oh, that's the machlekes. Tanakama sabat, Tanakama held, m'deshtasik kaninu. That the fact that he was silent and he saw that it was being gifted him to that third party, he was silent. He already acquired it. And v'haydukat tzavach. And this that he starts screaming later on, m'hadukadabi, he's trying to retract, but that's not going to help anymore. It was already his, and therefore they could eat the truma. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel said, and this is the point we're bringing out, says, no, Hayichiach Sefer Tchilasa, we say the end that he's screaming proves regarding the beginning that he never wanted it, and therefore he never acquired it, and therefore they're not able to eat Truma. They're not considered his Avada. Oh, V'hod le'tzavach mekra, then why didn't he scream in the beginning? That's because Sava, he thought, Ki lo'i osi le'yodei amai tzavach. If I didn't get the document yet, what I have to scream? What, because he's giving it to him from me? I'm not saying anything. Let me watch what's going on. Now the guy starts giving it to me and says, oh, I don't want this. Oh, so that's Hechich Sevet Chilasai. So therefore you see that concept of Shem Gamliel. Therefore we couldn't say here in the Halacha that this meat is mutter that was slaughtered by the Yisrael Mumer with an intention after he slaughtered, he said, yeah, I want to throw the blood or burn the fat for Avodah Zarah. You're going to say Hechich Sevet Chilasai. And therefore, although the other opinions would say that it's mutter, we couldn't say which is the opinion of the Rabbanan, maybe Rabbi Eliezer, but because of Rabbi Gamliel, we couldn't say that it was mutter. Therefore, they didn't say loy aser b'loy mutter. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, he says the halacha is Rabbi Yisi. We had all these different opinions, and going back to halacha of the Mishnah, halacha is like Rabbi Yisi that the thought process only goes based on the one that's slaughtering. Even if we hear the owner, the idolater, saying clearly he wants a idolatry, it's not going to invalidate it. It goes only based on the one. We're not mechashev from zeh mechashev zeh oivet. Only the one that's doing the avodah could invalidate with his machshava. And similarly, the Gemara illustrates with a story that Hanu Tayoi, there was these Arab merchants who they only eat slaughtered meat, even if it dies by itself, but they slaughter it to be able to eat it. And that's the way these Ishmaelites do it. The Asur Litzukunya, they came to Tzukunya, this place, and Yav Dichri, they gave these rams, the Tabach Yisrael, to the Jewish butchers. And Amalu, they said to the Jewish butchers, Dam of Atabra Lididan, the blood and the fats are for us that we want to use for our idol. Now, it's just because they were busy with their work, so they gave it to the Jewish butchers who were there in town to slaughter it and to skin it, but they really wanted it for themselves. They're just too busy to do it themselves, but they wanted the fats and the blood for their idol. And mashcho bischo lidzutchu, and however the skin and the meat, you Jews could keep it. We don't need it. We just want it for the fats and the bloods for avodah zarah. So shalcha Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masna l'kamid Rav Yosef and says ki hagav namai. Such a situation. What's the halacha? We're slaughtering it, and could we keep the meat and the skin, the hide, and they want to use the blood and the fats for avodah zarah? So shalcha lehi, he sent to them hachay amir b'yud mishmul, like we just quoted before, halacha k'rav Yosef, which even if the owner, This Yishmaelim are having a mind for avodah zarah, it doesn't make a difference. It's not their thought. The Jews are doing the slaughtering. It's kosher meat. You can keep the meat and the hide, no problem. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion by asking, Omli Rav Acha Barid Rav Avi L'Rav Ashi says, L'Rebbe L'Yazer, we quote in the Mishnah the most severe opinion that he says that the machshava of the non-Jew, who, if he's having a mind for idolatry, will invalidate it even if a Jew is slaughtering it, even if he only has a small bit, like we said, a diaphragm, the rest of the animal is going to the Jew, all the non-Jewish owner has a partnership, is even just a small piece of the animal. His thought process can invalidate the whole animal. So we have the following question. Let's say a non-Jew gives Zuza, a small coin, L'tabach Yisrael, to a Jewish butcher because of some of the meat from the Jewish butcher, and he tells the Jewish butcher, says, look, when you slaughter that next animal, I'm giving you this coin, I want that amount of meat from your animal. Mai, what's the halacha? Do we say that that will make that whole animal forbidden? In other words, do we say that when Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah that when the non-Jew has some partnership in the animal, is that only when they had bought the animal together, he was an original partner in that animal? Or, like in the case that we described in the Mishnah where it was all owned by the non-Jew, but then he gifted it to the Jew and says, hey, you can keep the whole animal, just the diaphragm I want for myself, which then we assume he uses for idolatry. That's where we said that, okay, then it's going to be us or the whole animal. But in a situation like this, which, no, it's the Jew's animal. This non-Jew just wants to buy a certain amount of meat from the animal. Then that's not going to be considered the non-Jew being as a partner to make the whole animal forbidden? Or do we say, no, there's no difference. Even over there, since he's getting a part of that animal and he's paying for that, it's going to make the whole animal forbidden because his machshav is of idolatry and he's considered a part owner. So Amaleis, they said to him, Chazina, we see. If this non-Jew is a very strong, fierce type of a person, and delay matzi, that this Jewish butcher would not be able to matkile, to push him away. And that is, let's say he wanted to tell him, he says, look, you know what, take your money back. I'm not giving you from my meat. He wouldn't be able to do that. He would have to give him from the meat that he paid for. So it comes out that that non-Jew is a bona fide partial owner in that animal. And then aser, that's the same thing as the Rebbe Eliezer Halach, it's going to be forbidden. But if not, then Amalei, then the Jewish owner, the Jewish butcher could tell him, Reshech Vahar, here's your head, here's a mountain, go knock one on the other, or take your money back. So therefore, in that type of situation where he could push him away, it comes out that when the Jew is slaughtering, he's not doing with the intention of the non-Jewish, because he's not an owner, of that person who gave him that money, because he's not forcefully his agent, which is what a shliach is for the owner. Because the Jewish butcher is telling himself, look, if I want, I can give him back his money. So therefore it's permitted. And if he wants, he could give him from the meat. Because although the Gemara tells him, Mecheres David Gimel Med Aleph, that non-Jewish person's money acquires for him and he has a portion, like in this case in the animal, but here by this Jew, when he's slaughtering the animal, he could remove the non-Jewish person and say you're not an owner and not be his agent. Because he could tell him, I didn't make you a partner to make things worse for me. So therefore, he's not considered an owner, and therefore it will not make the animal forbidden. But by a strong person, where he has to slaughter for him, because he has no choice, so then it's considered that that non-Jew is an owner in that meat, and therefore his general thoughts are for idolatry, and as we said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if it's just a small part of the animal, like the diaphragm, it would already make the whole animal forbidden, and then it's going to be forbidden according to Rabbi Eliezer.